Hey, the Jay Thomas Show podcast is coming up. It's brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. And I'm hanging out with my buddy. Everybody knows him as Hot Tub Vinny. Vinny, you got more than just hot tubs and saunas and, of course, the splash super pools. You've got the gaming. We're talking pool tables, air hockey, foosball. The list goes on and on. But you also, in your stores, have all the supplies people need, whether it's the chemicals to keep your outdoor toys going or it's pool cues, balls. You have it all in your store. It's a one-stop shop for fun.
Yeah, it is. And we're open 7 days a week because we know when you own a hot tub or a swimming pool, especially, you want it to be easy. You want it to be ready to use when you're going to use it. And that's what we do. We try to make this an easy, great experience for you and to keep it easy as you use it month to month. And then we, like you said, we have all the products for your game room needs and everything. Grilling needs.
Big green egg.
Everything is in stock. And like I said, we're open 7 days a week because you never know when you're going to be in town and you need some water care assistance.
Or care for your, you know, foosball table or pool table or whatever it might be. And your staff is very well trained. They can answer questions. Don't ever feel like, well, I don't know if I'm going to get the answer. They'll give you the answer. And you don't have to be a customer of Hot Spring Spas for them to help you out.
Nope. Anybody. The word travels fast. So if you're having a good experience with your hot tub or your pool, wherever you bought it, you'll tell other people you should get one.
There you go. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Where are you located, Vinny?
We're in West Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks.
Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. All right, now, the Jay Thomas Show podcast.
And welcome to the Jay Thomas Show. I am Tim Flacco sitting in for Jay today. He will be back on Monday. Tomorrow, Patrick Kirby will be in. I know one of his guests is Austin Schauer, who is a legislator from District 13 in West Fargo. We're going to roll through. We got a lot of things going on today. We have Terry Gerger, who's running for the House in south of town here in District 25. Aaron Hill, who's a candidate for Fargo City Commission. Rich Schlegel, candidate for District 41 House. Sarah Heinle, the finance director for the Cass County, talking about election integrity. Alex Nisbet, candidate for Fargo Parks, as well as Chahinka Bazoo reporting in later on in the show. Just a couple of things worth noting before we go to Jace at All Sauger Meats. Schlitz Beer is halting production after 177 years in production. And my friend Dale Wetzel wrote that he could always take Schlitz to a party because no one would steal it, and he actually liked it. So
yeah, I had heard that said about a few different beers, Schaefly's and some other beers. But Schlitz was one. I don't know. I always liked Schlitz, you know, it's a legendary beer. It had gone away for quite a while, and then I remember I think it was 06, between 06 and 09. It made a bit of a comeback, and I remember driving 90 miles to get a 12-pack.
Yeah. Well, and when I was in college, we'd start, you know, the year off drinking Miller Lite, and then you start running out of money. We get Old Milwaukee, and then by the end of, you know, like April, May, end of the school year, we were on to Hams and some of those kind of beers. But and I want to remind everybody, Chris Coast and his Redhawks open up tomorrow night at home against King County. It's the home opener at Newman Outdoor Field. News just in this afternoon, the mastermind of the $250 million Feeding Our Future fraud got 41 years in prison. So that was a surprisingly nice step forward. Now,
was she part of the Quality Learning Center?
Maybe.
Was she part of that or no?
Yeah.
Hopefully they're next.
Sadly, I know, I think at least 80-something other people have been charged, and a lot of them have received less than 5 years.
And lastly, before we go to Jace with All Sauger's, I remember last year about at this time, we had Applied Digital on talking about what, you know, some of the things that they were looking to do.
Yeah.
Since that time, because you can look it up, their stock is up 610%. They right now, as of half an hour ago, they were at 48.20, and they were at about $40.80.
What stock is this again?
Applied Digital.
Oh, okay. All right.
So the stock market is responding to whatever they're offering up. So
a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. So do we? Are we ready to go over to Jay's at All Soggers?
Well, yeah, we can do that. Dino's in here.
Dino,
so
you want to go, yeah. Dino? Okay, we'll go.
All
Dino.
Right, we'll do quick weather here. And you had mentioned the Red Hawks opener tomorrow. Yep. That's going to be a little in question. 7 o'clock, right?
That's what I hated about when I was general manager of the Red Hawks.
Man,
the weather.
Well, here's the thing. The majority of the rain is going to fall between about noon and 6. If it's off a little by an hour or so, there's still going to be a chance of rain at 7 o'clock. But it should become a little more scattered with the heavier stuff moving north. Now, I don't. It's going to be touch and go for the game tomorrow, I think. Could they do a delay start?
They'll do a delay start, yeah.
Or a doubleheader.
They could do doubleheaders because you really lose your concession money that way.
Gotcha.
And they have – it's about – so everybody knows the field is – the grass is on about 18 inches of sand. And
so
they
it'll
drain
soak
tiles,
in. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Straight
not worried.
In.
Yeah, because we're only going to get about a half inch. Yeah. So that's
That's.
It's just, well, you know, I bet they have a delay start because I think the rain is going to last till about 6 or 7 tomorrow, and then it should start to lighten up. But the rest of today looking pretty good. A lot of sunshine with some clouds mixed in. We'll have temperatures topping out close to 70 today. A little breezy out of the southeast, about 15 to 25. Tonight, clouds sticking up, upper 40s to near 50. Rain overspreads the area after about 10 tomorrow morning. It lasts through about 6-7 o'clock, the steady rain, and then we'll see scattered stuff overnight, picking up about a half inch, some spots 3/4, and highs much cooler tomorrow, and it's going to be breezy, 61 for a high, or 63 for a high, with winds out of the east southeast 15 to 30, so it's going to be a little cool. But then things improve on Saturday. It'll be dry on Saturday. We'll start with clouds. We'll see partly cloudy skies late in the day, upper 60s to near 70, and then Sunday, upper 70s. Memorial Day, upper 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Day after Memorial Day, close to 90. Yeah, finally, some summer warmth coming into the area. It's about time.
When I used to play ball, I always looked at which way the wind was coming from every, you know, because I knew the field and which way we're playing on. It's like, because normally, like in baseball, I had warning track power. That's about as far. I could really never get over the fence, but on a wind, you know, breezy day,
right?
Then I could do it.
Just
I
like at Wrigley Field, when you see that wind out of the south, you know you're swinging for the bleachers.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, now we want to thank Movie Team 6 for sponsoring today's weather, and we're loving it now. We're starting to love it here. I've got things that need to grow. So, and remind everybody that the studio line is 701-293-9000, thanks to Thor Buildings. And if you want to email us, you can email us at studio@wdayradionow.com, care of Red Wing Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Jace on the line.
Yeah, Jace is out at Timber Creek. All Soggers, happy birthday to you.
Exactly. We are out here at All Sogger Meet celebrating the 1 year at this location here in the Timber Creek Parkway location. For me, it's easiest to think of. It's east of Sweet Shots and Kingpins over here, just right off of this little strip mall over here. We're joined by Leah, one of the managers, or the manager here at All Sogger Meets. And you guys are celebrating your 1 year here. You've got some specials today. I think, according to what I heard, you guys might be out of the free or the brats, chips, and drink for just $5. Because they've been selling like hotcakes.
But we aren't out of them quite yet.
Yeah,
we still have about probably 20 brats left, but then we also have a bunch of old-fashioned hot dogs, which are really good as well.
Yeah.
Another thing that we sell here. So, yeah, come on out.
I know that you guys are celebrating this 1 year here. I mean, this beef here and the products here are really farm to fork. So, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things. You guys have also got pizzas here as well that you guys started making. Tell us a little bit about your products and kind of the process of getting all this great produce here for the customers.
Yeah, so our Timber Creek location is like our retail location. We wanted to make it available, you know, our products available to people farther south, mm-hmm. since not everybody always is going west or whatever. And so we make every single thing that we, most everything we sell here,
yeah,
obviously.
Exactly.
We don't. But, you know, we make all the brats, sausages, all that stuff at Veterans. Mm-hmm. We cut the steaks fresh and we bring them over here so they're available for, you know, pickup and whatnot. Also, you can also order any of our bundles from here, and we'll get them ready for veterans, and then we'll bring them over here to make it easy for anybody. So,
yeah, and you've got a number of butcher bundles that you're talking about there, ranging anywhere from $50 all the way up to, man, it must be like a half a side of beef there at $900. So you've got any type of a butcher bundle. You've got a pork pack, a couple of those. You've got a lot of steaks and, you know, some ring sausages, et cetera. So a lot of different kind of variations of those butcher bundles. Tell us a little bit about those.
Right, and then we actually just started a Lake Day bundle right now. So that's okay. going to come with, that's, I think, $79. It's a pack of buns, a pack of hot dog buns, a pack of hamburger buns, two packs of brats, two packs of burger patties. They're four packs, or four in a pack. And then it's a carton of our farm fresh eggs, two pork links, and 2 pounds of bacon.
Oh, so
for $79.
Yeah.
You don't have to get the buns. If we happen to run out of the buns or whatever, we have a reduced price of $65 without the buns.
Oh, nice. So you guys got pretty much everything you need if you're going to grill out, if you're going to go out to the lake and have a good weekend out there. So obviously come by here out at Allsager Meats, 5050 Timber Creek Road. It's north off of 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery. As I said, east of Kingpins and Sweet Shots. Coming out, we're going to be out here all during the Jay Thomas Show, 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Leah, thanks for your time. We'll check back with you in a little bit later.
Thank you.
Ronnie, back to you in the studio.
And thank you much. Just so I had a couple text messages here from people wanting to know about the election integrity. We'll have Sarah on in the 4 o'clock hour, so the from Cass County, because she heads up the property tax, or not property tax, Speaking of property tax, John.
Oh, yes, yes.
Hey, do we know any of the particulars on any services or anything?
You know, that is a great question. I have not heard any of the details yet. We would be happy to provide those when they're made available to us.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I kind of grew to like hearing from him a little bit.
Yeah.
Got better and better all the time, I thought.
Yeah. I know he was a regular caller to the show and, you know, always good conversation. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, but our first guest starting off today is Terry Gerger, a candidate from North Dakota House in District 25. So we'll say that's the southeast part of the state, a little south of Fargo, on down to the border from Matador, the pride of Matador, North Dakota. And I've known him for maybe 28 years at least, because we used to see him a lot when I was in the legislature on ag issues in particular. He's a current Richland County commissioner, operated Gerger Seed Farm and Gerger Seed Company before he retired from production agriculture about 2 years ago, give or take. His career has been rooted in a lot of agriculture economy type things. He's been on numerous state and local boards, including the North Dakota Renewable Energy Council, North National Biodiesel Board, North Dakota Soybean Council, and we spent a lot of time talking soybeans when I was in the legislature with him, and Richland County Farm Bureau and North Dakota Empower Commission. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Tim. Appreciate the invite.
So I'm going to jump right in. You just literally got back from the Williston Basin Council meetings that were held out west. We have listeners, of course, all across the west because of our outlets in Tioga. So what'd you learn there? What were they talking about? What were some of the highlight things that really were new or stuck with you?
Well, I think, of course, this is 75 years of the Bakken. So they talked a lot about the history and how it all started. And that's great for me to get educated on it. You know, the EOR, that's the extraction, more extraction of oil, either using carbon or other types of fluids. And that was talked about a lot, and how that has changed what the Bakken will be. And they talked about percentages of how much more oil they'll be able to pull out and utilize. Things are running pretty good there now. Of course, oil prices are a little better, so everybody was in a really good mood.
Yeah.
But we heard from all different sectors, including Interior Secretary Burgum was there to speak about you know, what North Dakota means to the whole structure of energy dominance of the United States. Which, man, if you look at the U.S., holy cow, do we have opportunities? And North Dakota is the real sweet spot for all types of energy.
Yeah, we've become an epicenter in many respects, you know, only behind, I think, Texas in terms of oil production helping stabilize the markets across the world. Mm-hmm. And when you compare us to some of the countries that you think were big oil producing countries, you know, North Dakota is right in the mix with some of those countries. So it is amazing how the technology over the years has allowed us to extract more of that oil. I think we're up to 7%. Yeah. You know, so there's still room to go.
A lot of room.
But every percent is just a mammoth amount of oil that they can get out of the shale out there.
It is. And Harold Hamm was there, too. So he talked about that shale that first time when they finally dug into that. And, you know, they said, well, we can't get anything out of there. Well, they figured it out and they got it out. So
yeah, they literally
cracked. To benefit us, you know, and we're the ones that benefit. Holy cow, you know, we're using... Ag has always been the big deal,
yep,
you know,
yep.
It still is, but energy has also become a big part of our backbone in North Dakota.
Yeah, I think over half
about
state
half,
budget
yep.
is from oil.
Yep.
You think about what, you know, your property tax relief, your schools, your all mm-hmm. these, you know, roads and bridges and the money from that, it's just filling up the buckets to do some of those things you want to do as a county commissioner, and we want to do in Cass County here too, so... It's really important, and those yeah. people that think that oil, you know, it's not going away in our lifetime, that's for sure.
And the other big benefit that I was really listening to, too, is the gas, the amount of gas that is not being utilized, natural gas, and that the opportunity is there for now, and there is a proposed pipeline from up in that area to the east
mm-hmm.
For quite a few different uses. And, of course, in ag, I'm thinking, well, can we produce some fertilizer on the way, you know, if the pipeline's going right by, can we put a fertilizer plant there and make fertilizer, make urea? Can it be power stations for what our energy needs are right here? Can it be used, you know, it's just, they're burning off the gas. We want it to the east, and it looks like it's in the process.
And that fertilizer plant could happen anywhere along the pipeline?
Anywhere. It can be used for natural gas, can make it. We were looking at, when I was on... The CC, which is a Sustainable Energy Authority, we were talking about funding a plant off of the natural gas. So yeah. it's there.
Well, and you talked about urea, and I'm going to have you explain a little bit what, you know, because it's what, 281% nitrogen, I believe.
That's correct.
And I mean, what's that used for in the farming? You know, for those that aren't in the ag
business. In ag, it's the main thing that we need for our crops to grow. Nitrogen is the number one. The other products are helpful to the plant, but nitrogen is what you need to turn things green and grow, and it's very important. And of course, with everything that happened this fall, last fall, and this winter around the world, we've been shoved into a situation in ag with very high fertilizer prices, and yet our commodity prices were not coming with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really caused some very concerned. In agriculture, but our markets have moved a little bit, so we'll.
And that's, you know, one of the biggest challenges we face as a state is, you know, our economy is based on two commodities,
that's
agriculture
correct.
And, you know, petroleum. And it's like, boy, things can bounce all over the place. And I think I've talked about this on the show one, you know, a few times, but I think for every dollar a barrel goes up or down, it's about a $110 million impact to the budget.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to keep moving forward with what else can we do? What other products can we make from oil or from ag products here and get a premium price for it so we diversify ourselves so it's not just a raw product being shipped out the farm. It's just not raw oil going out. We're producing 100 different things, and we're getting paid for making that and then exporting it out or utilizing it right here. So it's very important to keep on top of that.
Yeah, as much as we can utilize in the state. I remember we used to talk when I was in the beef industry, you know, we ship the calves out of state, we ship the grain out of state to feed them, we ship the kids out of state to take care of them.
Yeah.
And that just was not a winning formula.
I mean, with technology, we've got such great opportunities, you know, and sure, there's challenges along the way, there always is, but those challenges become opportunities too. So
yeah.
We just got to keep pushing forward in all areas.
Yeah. So, we have a little bit of time here, not too much before the break. I'm still learning the new formula here with the Jay Thomas Show, but we have like 4 minutes. I have your brochure here that you gave me. You talked about responsible government.
Mm-hmm.
how would you define responsible government, and what can we improve upon to make that more responsible?
Well, I can speak for us in Richland County, which, by the way, Richland County is District 25, and then two townships in southeastern Sargent County.
Yeah.
Because of Native American land, I guess, or something. I don't know, but it's all of Richland County. And we're dealing with that 3% cap. So we have to take a look at everything and say, hey, what services do our people want, number one? Number two, what can we afford to do? And then number three, how do we pay for it? So, of course, in our county, we don't have much choice but property tax. We don't have a sales tax. You do up here.
Not for the county.
No, not for the county. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes, yeah. But so that's all we have to rely on. But I think all the time we should always be looking at where can we make improvements, where can we be more efficient, and we want to give our constituents or taxpayers the services they want, but those services have to be paid for somehow. But let's do it as efficiently and as we possibly can, and still give the public what they need and what they want.
Yeah, I have Sarah Hindley from Cass County on later on the show. She does our finances, and I think people will be amazed at like how much some things cost, like, you know, a road or blacktop something or bridges, you know, per mile. Interstate is coming up on what, $5 million a mile?
Yeah, we're doing in Richland County, we're doing like 7.5 miles, I think, but it's a part of it is a complete roadbed rebuild. And it's $2 million a mile to build that out, widen it, and then put blacktop back on it. So it's extremely expensive. But it's just you got to keep looking at, you know, how can we do more things better, and when it comes to it, if we have to look to our public too to say, what do you want and what can you do without if we get to that situation. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, and you face some of the same trouble we do in Cass County as my old boss, who's an architect, used to say, we're built on loon poop. And, you know, it's just, you know, the roads are just tough to keep up because, it's so soft and it gets so mushy, former Senator Tom Fisher used to say, like, the valley's one place where you can be in mud up to your knees and have the dust blowing in your face. And that's kind of the weird challenges that we face here. So, you know, one of the things when I come back, and I want to ask you the first one out, but I'm just kind of curious because we talked about AI, and my friend Deborah from Italy wrote on Facebook this week, I don't see AI as replacement for humanity. I see it as an opportunity to amplify human potential and rebuild ecosystems that were once left behind. So I'm just going to ask you, where can people use it? Where shouldn't they use it? What do we have to watch about? But I also want to find out, why are you running those kind of things? So we'll be right back with Terry Gerger after this. I'm Tim Flacco sitting in for Jay on the Jay Thomas Show on 970 WDUI and 1100 The Flag. And welcome back to the Jay Thomas Show. And Ronnie is back in my good graces again, playing a little Doors music.
Yeah. Now,
I thought maybe you forgot.
Well, no, I have to watch this. I guess there's new episodes of... one of my favorite programs, I forget the person's name. It's Josh somebody. It's an Explorer show on the Discovery Channel. But in the new episodes, they are doing a story about the mysterious death of Jim Morrison. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch that episode. Because they said, I guess there are assertions being made that, may not have been suicide, you know, things along those lines or however it went down.
Yeah, well, he supposedly drank too much and drowned in his own puke.
And is buried overseas, right?
Yep, he's buried in Paris.
Yeah.
And actually the cemeteries that people comment how hard it is to find where he's buried, but...
Yeah.
And they used to have... Well, they finally ended up putting a fence around there because people would, like, chip off...
Right.
Part of the brick,
desecrate the memorial.
They had an image of him, and they're trying to, just a little bit of, you know, rock off of this. So, hey, we're going to get back to Terry Gerger here in a second. I would be remiss if I didn't mention he's like a big, big Bison fan, you know, honored by doing a coin toss, big supporter of North Dakota State College of Science and the like. And speaking of songs, you just play The Doors, but later on, sometime in the show, you're going to do the sounder, Cheeseburger in Paradise,
mm-hmm.
and we'll take the ninth caller, and if you're the ninth caller, then you will win the $100 gift certificate to Allsagers.
Yeah, and it's good at any of their locations, including the one in Breckenridge, Terry.
Oh, okay. So, mm-hmm. So do we have Jace on the line?
We do, as a matter of fact. And he is live for the one-year birthday of Allsager Meats at Timber Creek.
That's right, Ronnie. Allsager Meats here at 5050 Timber Creek Park, Timber Creek in Fargo. It's right north of 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery, east of Sweet Shots and Kingpins. Great location over here. They've got freezers of just stock full of different meats and produce that they've made out there and on their own farm, etc. They've raised it. It's really a farm-to-fork operation. They've got some amazing specials going on here. The biggest one, $4.99 a pound for lean ground beef while supplies last. It's limited to 3 per customer per day. You can stop by up until about 3 o'clock here, so not many minutes left here in this, but you can get a chance to get a brat or a hot dog, chips and a drink for just $5 over here at Allsager Meats. The mission is to provide community with honest, locally sourced meat raised with respect, traceability, and care. And I tell you what, it is fantastic. They got meat sticks. They've got steaks. They've got ground beef. They've got ground buffalo. They got chicken that's all ready to go. It's either, put in buttered garlic. It's beer can chicken. It's raspberry chipotle. Any kind of chicken to flavor you want, they've got it already marinated and ready for you to go to bring home, thawed out, and put it on the grill and have it your way. John and Liz, the owners here, they do a great job over here. They got it multiple locations, but we're here at the Timber Creek location here in Fargo, and it's a great way to fill up your freezer if you're thinking about that, because they've got these butcher bundles. It ranges anywhere from $50 all the way up to, it looks like, $900 when they've got the Rancher's Reserve packages. You got 3 chuck roasts, 8 T-bones, 8 ribeyes, 6 sirloins, all in that 12 to 16-ounce range. You got 50 pounds of ground beef. You got 4 pounds of stew meat, so you can fill up a freezer awfully, awfully quick. If pork is more your thing, they've got either a Porky's Petite Pack or a Porky's Prime Pack. The Prime Pack is $250. The Petite Pack is just $100. You get 4 slabs of thick-cut bacon, 6 mix-and-match pork chops, a pork tenderloin, some sausage links, and some ground sausage. They'll take care of you any which way you can. So get out here while you can. We're going to be out here all the way through the end of the Jay Thomas Show here at 5050 Timber Creek Parkway here in Fargo, North Dakota at Allsager's Meats, celebrating their first year at this location. Come on out.
All right. Thank you, Jace. We'll talk to him next hour. And, Tim, I must say, right before we went on the air, I dined on Mexican food, authentic Mexican food from Casa Mexico. It's locally owned. I had a burrito supreme with all the fixings, Spanish rice, refried beans. They make fresh tortilla chips daily. And it was very, very good. We are lucky to have some authentic Mexican food in the area, like Casa Mexico. They do their fresh guacamole daily, sizzling fajitas, top shelf margaritas, 7 years of proven quality Mexican food, and a brand new buffet on the weekends, Saturday, Sunday, 11 to 10, featuring fresh seafood and 4 homemade soups, located at 4900 13th Avenue South in Fargo. And their menu can be found online at CasaMexicoFargo.com.
Sounds great. Maybe Josh will, after 3 o'clock, I haven't had lunch yet today. Maybe he can bring something noble for us.
I was just going to ask, did you get that for free? Is this part of it?
Anyway, I'm joined by Terry Gergel, who is a candidate for North Dakota House from District 25 in southeast North Dakota, kind of in that Richland County area. One of the questions I wanted to talk to you about, because there's always a lot of, you know, right now you're a county commissioner. You've held a lot of different positions. You've seen it from various levels, state, national, local. One of the consternations I have is, like, we'll call it local control, and everybody thinking, like, you know, Washington, D.C. thinking they know better than North Dakota, North Dakota thinking they know better than Richland County, and, you know, that type of thing. So what do you do to fight for that? Give me, you know, you have any examples of, you know, overstepping that you would say, hey, we're not going to do this. You know, this is not good for people back home.
Yeah. I don't know if I do. I think that sometimes the state, you set up a board to operate a higher ed system. It'd be nice if those people were elected, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and you were involved with that, with education. But then we have, I don't know, people that think they can run it from Bismarck when you hired a president to run the college. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's got to be a fine line. Richland County, we don't do any zoning. It's all done by the townships and the cities. They have control.
Yeah.
But everybody thinks we do. I said, no, that's up to them how they want to work with it. And I think that follows all the way back. I mean, I think the county does have control of some things. But here's an instance. Okay, we have a burn ban on. Some people got fined for burning during a burn ban. I found out that that money goes to the state. It doesn't stay in our county. Now, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, because it's a century code.
Uh-huh.
So now it's going to go to the state. And I want to say, why is that when our local people
doing all the work?
Yeah. So definitely the more local control we have, I think, you know, and people need to pay attention when they have an election and elect the people they want.
Yeah, and I've worked with, you know, been in work environments where I've had to tell people, you hired me to do this.
Yeah.
Just either you want me to do this or might you want to micromanage me, then get out of, you know, get out of my way because I'm hired to do this. Back off.
Yeah. I feel the same way in our county government. We have employees. That's why we hire them. You take care of our employees. They do the work for our county. And, yeah, I'm in favor of trying to keep as much control locally as we can. I think that's the best way because you have a little bit more communication, I think, directly there. Yes, we come out. We go out. I used to go out to the legislature and communicate, but I'm one guy from one area, so.
Well, and you want to give, like, employees or whatever ownership, too. You know, I always tell, you know, people that worked for me used to be surprised at, like, how much they thought I was going to be, like, really micromanaging, heavy-handed. And I tried not to be. But anyway, I go, no, you know, say you're in North Fargo, you know, there's, if you tell them, go to West Acres and get this. I'm not telling you how to get to West Acres. There's, like, three different ways you can get to West Acres. I could care less how you did it. Just get there. And get the stuff and come back. We're not going to, you know, tell you all this stuff. And you know, and they kind of grew to, you know, feel good with that freedom.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, a legislator is called a policymaker. A policymaker. That's what your job is as a legislator. You lived it. I'm going to learn it, I hope, if I'm elected. And
Yeah, but you got a leg up because you've been around it.
I've been around it, but still.
Bill drafts and stuff for so many years.
I think there definitely is a line where you set the policies and let people do the work.
That's what I always appreciated because people, you know, when I was in the Senate, they said, oh, the majority leader's telling you how to vote. I go, they have never once told me how to vote. And I remember a couple times I turned it back to Bob Stinger, who was a friend of mine. I go, I got one button just like you. So, you know,
No, I think, you know, you're getting my way I look at myself being engaged is have the discussions, listen, have the discussions, talk about it, and come up with a conclusion that's the best for the state or whatever type issue we're working on. But you have to be able to work with just about everybody, with everyone. And hear their side of it, and then make a decision that's the best.
And again, if you want to give us a call us at 701-293-9000. Thanks to Thor Buildings, or you can email us at studio@wdayradionow.com. Thanks to Teresa and the folks over there at Red Wing Shoes. Before the break, we talked about, and this is not a data center question. This is AI, because AI is here. They're using it in businesses. They're using it in a variety of ways. I thought it was clever how, like, we had a faculty member that was like, you know, how do you know your students aren't using AI to write their papers? He goes, I make them submit what they wrote, but then I make them put in the AI that same question and present both of those. So that way, if, you know, there's a little bit. But, you know, where do you see it kind of at this point, in really, really early on, having some value in business or otherwise?
Oh, I think we're just scratching the surface of what AI can be. An example that Secretary Burgum brought up today was, consider the doctor, and he looks at your x-rays or MRIs or whatever, and everything looks great, you know, but repetitive of looking at things, you see it a little different. Well, AI can do that. I don't understand it all completely yet, but apparently the more data you put in, mm-hmm. the more options, conclusions you can make. But can you imagine going to a doctor and doc says, well, everything looks clean, everything looks great here. But then they run it through AI and something kind of peaks and he said, you know, this enzyme doesn't look right.
Oh, yeah.
And then looking into it further and further, and it can be an assist for that.
Yeah.
Kind of and maybe we can
be the canary in the mine, raise the flag to like explore this.
Maybe it can find a gene or something like that, which can completely turn everything around. So there's going to be a place for it. It's going to be here. Yes, there's going to be some people trying to do bad things with it. It's going to happen. But all we can do is let's do what we can with it.
I would say, in a way, it's like early days of electricity to me, because electricity can do great and amazing things, but it can also kill you. You know, and AI can do some great things. Like somebody wanted some numbers ran, like how much, you know, if this is valued at this today, if it increases 7% a year for 25 years, how much is that worth? Well, if you did it by hand, you have to write it down and then how many am I on now and all that kind of stuff. And I could put it in there in 15 seconds. It's like, brrr, and it shows the formula by how it got there and everything.
My guess, did you ever use the slide rule?
Yes.
So.
Well, to Terry's point, you know, there's, I think it was a day or two ago, I came across a documentary about the early days of electricity and how, you know, appliances started to be developed and you had all these things and the electrical grid was, from when it first began, we hadn't upgraded it and we pretty much need to upgrade it now. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't upgraded it yet, and a lot of homes, because the homes weren't built right, the wiring wasn't shielded properly to handle all of the additional load of all these brand new home appliances, and a lot of fires were happening. Yep. And then they figured out what was happening and started building new homes the way that they needed to be to handle the load.
Yeah, and our farm where my dad grew up, we had, you know, his house that he grew up in, I mean, they literally had the old spool and wire running through on the, you know, surface mounted across the house, and they had a wind charge that had big batteries in the basement, and you know, and it's,
yeah, I think AI is here, and it's gonna, but we need to engage with it, and we need to watch it, we need to, you know, try to utilize it to the best of humanity instead of trying to, you know, do bad things with it. But there's always going to be that, but I think we need to pay attention to it.
So I'm looking at some of your materials here, and let's just go through for our listeners. What I mean, why are you running? I know we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of Cindy Schreiber Beck passing away in that district. What are some of the reasons why you're running, and what are some of the big cornerstones for your campaign?
Well, I've kind of always wanted to work in ag and energy. Ag and energy are two big things. We need to have strong ag and energy, so doing things with that. We need to continue to do things with property tax to bring down those costs for everyone. How that's done, again, is part of the discussion. I know that the big bank account we have is supposed to build up to $50 billion, and then well, we're not going to be out of it by then. There'll be more things we're going to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all part of that situation. I really believe that we need to continue training people in workforce, because it hardly goes a week where I don't talk to people and say, we can't hire anybody, we can't get anybody, we can't get them trained. So I think our tech colleges need to, we got to do a few more things. I know there's a lot of partnerships. Okay, how can we help that business engage and be part of that education so that they get that trained person back? Can we incentivize something somewhere? Just to keep that and let that building grow and grow. I'm a big supporter of all law enforcement and first responders. I've been a firefighter for 47 years. I understand emergency management. And I think doing all the things we can, that's one of the big services that people would absolutely do not want to be without. Mm-hmm. So we need to do things creatively to make sure that we can do those things.
Yeah. In about 40 seconds, why should some, you know, because I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, and you know, and I'm not easy to make happy, to be honest. So I mean, we could have you know, we had some really good things we worked on in the ag, you know, particularly in the ag sector and in some in higher
again,
education,
but education too.
But why should they vote for you? 30 seconds.
Well, I believe that I'm guy that can listen and discuss things and come up with conclusions and work with people to come up with those conclusions. My experience on a lot of boards and things like that has given me that. I have no proven agenda to bring to it. I just want to have those discussions and do what's best for our people that that would vote for me. So I hope that people do vote on June 9th for me.
Yeah, 20 days away.
Yeah.
Terry Gerger running for candidate for District 25 House, and he's not a one-issue kind of guy. He likes a lot of different things. I'm Tim Flacco sitting in for Jay and the Jay Thomas Show here on 970 WDAY, 93.1 FM and 1100 The Flag. And after this break, we'll be back with Aaron Hill, candidate for Fargo City Commission.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check 306, the Jay Thomas Show, guest hosted by Tim Flackle today. And Tim, I know when you've had a hard day of being a county commissioner, you might need to go home and relax. Well, you can do that with a hot spring spas and or a pool table too. Or maybe you're a pool guy like Jay has one of those fantastic splash super pools, but you can get all of that stuff and everything you need to take care of it at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. 100% employee owned. And when it's either winter time or cooler, or you're not feeling quite right, you can freshen up with a sauna as well. Ooh. At Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. It is right next to Boston's Pizza over there in Fargo, and I believe they've got Fargo, Grand Forks, and I think there's a store in Minot, too, maybe.
But shop local.
Yes, yes, shop local. Yes, shop local, yes. There you go. Unless you're in, the Tioga listening.
If you're in Tioga, then you shop local in Minot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, just seeing coming across the wire here that U.S. approves Dakota Access easement nearly a decade after pipeline started pushing oil. So that's just in the newsroom here.
Yes. Story is on our website at WDAYRadioNow.com. I know some comments made on our station across the hall, AM 1100 The Flag, on Scott Hannon's broadcast from Secretary of the Interior and just happens to be former North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum about that and the major concern that, you know, these things are the people who are quote unquote activists have seen this as a way to try to hold up these things and just put it through years and years of lawfare and other things in order to try and hold up projects. When in this case, ultimately, the environmental studies, everything else, all the I's were dotted, the T's were crossed. But yet, you know, we're going to throw another injunction at you to see if we can get you to stop doing it. So,
yeah. Hey, we're going to be joined shortly here by Aaron Hill, who is the current member of the Fargo Park District, but he's also a leading candidate for the Fargo City Commission. But
yeah,
I think we need to run over to Jason at Allsoggers to hear a little bit from them. And remember, later on, we'll have the Sounder, Cheeseburger in Paradise. If you're the ninth caller, you win big bucks, $100 gift certificate.
Sometime before 5, yes. Jace is at Timber Creek for the one-year anniversary of Allsogger Meats. And, boy, it's really become something. I mean, even expanding locations and I even saw, for those of you heading out for the weekend, a Lake Place bundle as well.
Well, Lake Place bundle that Leah had mentioned about, but they've got a number of different bundles. And I'm over here at the 5050 Timber Creek Parkway in Fargo. It's north off of 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery. It's right across the way from Sweet Shots and Kingpins that we're all familiar with. They're celebrating their 1 year at this specific location. They've got multiple locations. They got a couple locations outside of a town and a couple smaller places. Right now, their special going on right now today, $4.99 lean ground beef. You can't beat that. While supplies last, limit 3 per customer per day. So get over here and get those while you can. This is a truly a family-oriented business. It's a farm-to-fork type of operation. It's a premium butcher shop, and you can tell that by a lot of the products that they have in their coolers here. They've got chicken breasts that have been seasoned. They got different flavors of sausages and bratwurst and hot dogs. They've got jerky. You name it, meat-wise, they've got it. Pork chops, ground pork, etc., ground burger, you know, everything. And, of course, you can't forget their baked beans as well. Their baked beans are fantastic. Everybody loves them, so you might want to check those out as well. Joss and Liz have been quietly, but not so, softly really expanding this business, and also while they've been doing this, they've been supporting the community and giving back as well. And they've got pork, chicken, seafood, condiments, spices, all kinds of things. They got a new line of hot dogs and hamburger buns that's been provided by Krepp's Family Farm. And as I said, they got these butcher bundles, and they range from price points anywhere from $550 all the way up to $900. And we'll take a look at this one here. They got a Steak Me Home Tonight bundle for $230. It's got four 12-ounce ribeyes, four 10- to 12-ounce New York strip steaks, four tenderloin steaks at about 5 to 6 ounces each, and they got 8 pounds of ground beef. The High Steaks bundle, if you want to double up on that one, about $500 on that one, eight 16-ounce ribeyes, two chuck roasts at about 3 pounds apiece, eight 12- to 14-ounce sirloin steaks, and you got 25 pounds of ground beef. They've got a package so big called the Rancher's Reserve. I think it's going to fill up your freezer for most of the summer, if not into the wintertime. So get over here to Alsager Meats. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary at this location at 5050 Timber Creek Parkway over here in Fargo, north off of 52nd Avenue, right next to Jen's Bakery. Come out and join us. We'll be here through the end of the Jay Thomas Show today.
All right. Thank you, Jace.
Thank you, Jace. I'm going to jump right into Aaron Hill. You know, he has a meet and greet coming up here, I think, at 4 o'clock, so we appreciate him carving out some time for our listeners. And, you know, now's the time when people are really starting to hone in and really dig in and listen, examining candidates, looking at what they can find online, listening to debates and forums. And I think there's 20 days till the election, you know, the so-called election day. But I think people are already getting those absentee ballots and going early. And certainly he has a ton of yard signs up by my neighborhood in Fargo here. So welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Did you realize that you said meet and greet right after the All-Star meet? I caught that.
It's almost like he planned it.
Yeah, we when we had our meeting about the show last week, that's what we were working on.
Good.
Some of schtick.
Done.
Yeah.
I applaud you.
Hey, we're gonna ask you a few questions that normally aren't asked throughout your debates and everything that are pretty common, but we're gonna ask you a common one right out of the chute, Aaron. There's been a lot of coverage in the media about the we'll call it needle exchange, even though you don't have to exchange one to get one. The free boof kits, which I had to look up the first time I heard what boof kit was.
Yeah, and I bet you wish you didn't look it up.
Yeah, at least there was no pictures. And the amount city spends on their media. Can you tell us your thoughts on those particular expenditures and where you would see yourself when you or if you would become elected to the Fargo City Commission?
Sure, yeah. So the needle exchange in the booth kit, which I still, to be honest, I would need to look that up too. That's all, from my understanding, through Fargo CAF Public Health and in the city. So it's not entirely coming out of the city's budget. I believe the city is contributing to Fargo CAF Public Health. I think it's about $6 million annually, if I understand that correctly. So, when I get elected, it'd be one of those things that I'd want to make sure I look into that and make sure I'm a data person. I do commercial real estate now. Anytime someone says, what do you think my property's worth? Instead of me just kind of shooting from the hip, I like to give data. And so for me, I'm going to look at data. I'm going to look at numbers. I'm going to see who is bringing numbers, or is it numbers, or is it just emotion? Like, what are we using to kind of make those type of decisions? So I think I'm going to have to make sure I look at that, look at both sides, look where the data is, and kind of make a determination for myself. And then what was the second part of the question? It was the needle exchange.
The needle exchange, booth kits, and then the media.
Oh, the media meaning like the communication department?
Communication department, correct.
Yeah. Well, I think they had just kind of trimmed that part of the staff down, from my understanding. So it would be another thing. You can, as you know, Tim, you've run multiple campaigns now. You can make promises on I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and really the only promise I make to the Fargo citizens is I promise I'm going to look into it, and I'm going to do my homework, and I'm going to kind of dig into it, you know. So for me, that would be one of the components that, probably needs to be analyzed, and not just the communication department, but the whole staffing in general and all the departments and you know, how is everything laid out and how is the structure, you know, is the reporting structure happening or not, or are there things that are happening inside that I'm not aware of? Because right now I'm on the outside, right? I'm not inside yet. Yep. So I can't really answer questions until I'm on the inside and start learning for myself.
So do you think, you know, your gut reaction, because I can't help but think, you know, with the you know, pretty good media presence that they have, communications department, you know, that it's like three times what we have here at the radio station, or more than they have probably at KBLY or, you know,
yeah,
the Forum.
How many staff members are there at WDAY and the Flag?
You mean as far as in the newsroom? We have like
general,
a couple reporters.
Yeah, how many employees?
Yeah,
are
like two.
I think we have two.
Yeah. Yeah. So
two
we're like
reporters for WDAY and the Flag. The entire entity only has two reporters or two employees.
Presently, full time news reporters. Yep. Presently, yeah.
Yeah. So they have basically at least three times more than we have here. So,
and the city has news reporters. Are you talking about?
Well,
you,
I mean, it's a controlled. Their communications department is very controlled. Which is, you know, my opinion. Hmm. You know, because
okay.
You know, it's hard to get to some people sometime to get an interview because it's all sanitized and everything. So, but you know, one of the things that I think is disappointing for citizens of Fargo is the demeanor, shall we call it, during commission meetings and other things has really become pretty raucous. Now, some people enjoy that sort of thing, but it doesn't always seem productive. You know, how do we get more elected officials to attack problems and not each other in Fargo?
Yeah, yeah. It's almost become like a blood sport, right? Or I saw something, and it's kind of mirroring what's happening at the national level, where it's like, it's entertainment. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like wrestling match. And now people sit there with the popcorn and go, this is great. And it's one of those things. Personally, I kind of feel like it's like, can we make it a little more boring? You know, it's like, it really shouldn't be this spectator blood sport. It should be respectful dialogue. It should be people you can it doesn't mean everybody's got to hold hands, sing kumbaya and agree all the time. That's absolutely not what I would advocate for, but you can disagree with someone very respectfully. You can have a conversation. You can ask questions. You can ask follow-up questions. You can use certain statements. There's a way to kind of communicate and have sort of disagreements without shouting at each other, and I think, you know, I've at least demonstrated my ability to do that through the park district, the park board, not just in the public meetings but in the smaller private meetings. I mean, you know, you and I have been in a smaller private meeting, and you've gotten to see how I operate in those type of meetings, and it doesn't mean you kind of back down to what you think and feel, but there's a way to do it respectfully, and so I think I couldn't agree more that that's certainly needed at the commission level.
We have a little bit of a change coming in with the mayor's office. You know, and I've been a so-called half-time person, you know, half FTE, but I always contend there's no such thing as half-time. There's only half-time pay. Usually, I think Mayor Mahoney and others have turned it into full-time work. But do you think there will be any changes, the Fargo City Commission and City Hall, with the mayor status moving to full-time, that will be, you know, easier predictable or recognizable?
Well, I think, it, as you just said, I think it's been a full-time job for a long time. I think, I mean, even going all the way back to Denny Wallacker and his tenure, yep. Or even probably Bruce Furness, you know, it's like there's no way that this isn't a probably a 60-plus hour a week job. And so I know we want our civil servants to sort of almost volunteer, and that makes sense, and I get that. But also I think it's good that now the pay is going to reflect that. Now, will we get some different candidates that might throw their name in the ring that maybe aren't at sort of the end of their careers or you know, some of those stages of mm-hmm. life? Maybe, hopefully, you know, if we can get people that are a little more in, you know, sort of the middle parts of it, I think that would be helpful. So I think it's going to be good. I think it's long overdue in from what I hear, in my opinion. And so I think that's going to be beneficial in the long run. Yes, I know it costs more money. I get that. I understand. And it's, you know, more money for elected officials, but I think it's going to be helpful.
Yeah. So I'm not going to use names, but, you know, I really wasn't a big fan of the previous police chief who left Fargo this year. And I'm not asking you to weigh in on whether you liked that person or didn't like that person or whatever. But tell us about your experience of having those tough HR discussions with other roles that you've had in your life, whether it's a elected, appointed, on the job, you're on a board where, you know, you had to put employees through improvement plans or, you know, maybe you had to say this is not a good fit for you. You know, I'll help you be successful in your next job, but we don't want you here anymore, kind of thing. Because I want somebody who's, you know, who's not, you know, who won't let themselves get run over by a department head.
Right. Yeah. My experience starts with from Fargo Brewing Company, actually. So I'm one of the founders of Fargo Brewing. I was full time in that business for 10 years. At our peak, we probably had close to 30 employees. And it felt like I was kind of the only one of the partners owners that kind of had the courage to be able to go and help kind of remove some of those individuals. And so I've had a lot of conversations, a lot of experience in that department, and some because of performance and some because of layoffs, which those are even harder to do. So I have experience from the brewery, and then, you know, it's probably not a secret. I got elected to the park board 4 years ago, and there was some executive leadership issues when I got elected. So my first year on the park board was dealing with that type of a situation where we had a leader in place that was and I'm on record. You can go and look at my job performance evaluation, but you know it was just kind of a wrong seat, you know, the wrong fit. And so you know, I did kind of everything I could to try to shepherd a better outcome in that whole deal, and it didn't kind of shake out that way, unfortunately. But you know, I kind of knew, I'm like, it's probably going to take me about 12 months to kind of come up with my own determination, but that was eventually what I did, was kind of had a conversation pretty directly about that, in addition to the sort of, you know, the public written documented evidence as well. So it's not fun. It's never fun, you know. And if anybody claims it's fun or they enjoy it, it's probably they've never done it before. Or they say how easy it is. Well, we just need to, you know, this is what we need to do. The odds are they've never had to do that before and have those difficult conversations. But the more you do it, the better you get at it. And you just realize it's like a Band-Aid. It's like you just got to rip it off. And you can't. If you just let it sit, it festers and festers and festers. And then that's not fair to the rest of the staff and the rest of the employees. And then they look at you and say, well, there's a problem and you're not taking care of it. Why? Are you scared? And the odds are probably, right? So, all right, I've got to do that. You know, who's got to do that? I do, right? So I've got to go take care of that. So, yeah.
It's one of the things I hated most about being general manager of the Redhawks because, for example, I had to tell Daryl Motley that his career was over with us. And he had won a World Series ring. He had, in 1996, just a couple, like 3 years before, been player of the year in the nation, in independent baseball. And I had to tell him, Daryl, we love you. You're a great guy, but it's just not working anymore. So, hey, we got a couple of emails that are in. Ronnie, you want to run one or two of those out?
Yeah, there's a couple emails here. One from Derek that says, "How do I go about getting a yard sign?"
Perfect.
And the other one from emailer named Saidu that says, "What top three Fargo issues would you consider not so much your cup of coffee?" Question mark.
Interesting. Start with question number one. So AaronHillFargo.com. Go to my website, or you can search me up on Facebook or LinkedIn. So just Aaron Hill on Facebook or LinkedIn. You can reach out to me pretty much any way, and I'll find a way to get you a yard sign. I'll need your address, of course. And then the second question was, what three issues are not my what? Not my cup of tea or cup of coffee?
Yeah, that's what the emailer Saidu says. What top three Fargo issues would you consider not so much your cup of coffee? Question mark.
Yeah, I would need some clarification on that. I'm not really sure how to answer a question that I don't fully understand that, what the intent of that question is. If you can clarify it, I can hang on.
Yeah, I wish I could. I read them as they come in, so I'm a little baffled, like you are as well.
My answer would be human services. One of my answers would be human services because, boy, you know, Judy Lee and, you know, like Gail Bollinger, I'm like, boy, I'm glad I have those people there because this is so confusing to me. There's, you know, so intertwined.
But. Yeah, I'm wondering if it maybe if he didn't mean or the emailer didn't mean it's there's three things, I don't know, that you might not want to deal with. I don't, maybe that's how they meant it.
I was gonna say, I'm like, there's really not anything that I am not willing to deal with or not willing to understand. I mean, that was the thing I learned, you know, getting involved in the brewing business too, was, you know, it's like, that was like the actual brewing process was super foreign to me. You know, I bartended, that was kind of how I got into that. But you know, ask questions, dig into it. And I'm a super, super curious person. I mean, pretty much everything fascinates me. So I've even said too, like when I get elected, one of the things I would like to do if it's possible is to try to do some ride alongs with different departments. Like I've already done a police ride along and a fire ride along, but like sanitation, you know, garbage, I'd be like, can I hop on a garbage truck and be like, I want to see what that day looks like or that half day, or, you know, like what is the work that you do? And I want that experience. The water treatment and like sewer and sanitation stuff, super, super fascinated. Like I really, really am excited to go check out like the water treatment plant. Yep. Call me a nerd. That's fine. I don't care. But again, like it reminds me kind of like the brewing process. Like, okay, well, what do we do with the water? What are we doing? How do we do it? How does that work? Where does this connect? You know? So there really isn't anything that I guess I'm not interested in or I'm not fascinated by.
I'm going to jump in because you got about 60 seconds left. So I want to bundle up a question for you, a current position at the park board, the desire, as you know, be a Fargo public, you know, city commissioner. There's concern about the new wellness center as far as, bus service. You know, you would be more apt, or, you know, the bus service comes under the city commission. Are there things you can do there that will help address some of those park district issues?
Are you talking about the sports center?
Yes.
Center in South Fargo? Okay.
Yep.
Potentially that is a city MAT bus issue. And, yeah, you know, I'm on record to one of our park board meetings talking about the difficulty of how far south that is and the accessibility of that. So, I mean, very, very supportive of how do we find ways, how do we dive into it and explore options to try to make sure that we can get as many people out to that space as possible.
Very good. We're up against the clock. That was Aaron Hill, candidate for the Fargo City Commission, and he's got an event coming up here at 4 o'clock, so appreciate him coming on. I'm Tim Flacco, sitting in for J&J Thomas Show. Right after the break, we'll have Rich Schlegel, who is a candidate for North Dakota District House in 41, South Fargo. We'll be right back.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check, 3:37. The Jay Thomas Show guest hosted by Tim Flacco today. We're going to go out and talk with Jace Denman at All Sauger Meats in Timber Creek in just a few moments. A reminder, though, that you still have before 5 p.m. It's not now, but it may happen sometime before 5 o'clock. We will be playing Cheeseburger in Paradise, and when you hear it, you'll need to be caller number 9. In order to potentially win a $100 gift card to All Sauger Meats at any of their locations. Now, I also remind you, if you're traveling out there, you may find one of these near you, a PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Some of their monthly specials include a free pop, purchase a lunch entree, and get a free 20-ounce bottle of Coke products at participating locations only. B2G1 free. That's right. A buy two, get one free energy drink. 16 ounces. Select brands, including Monster, Bang, Full Throttle, NOS, and Rain. Buy two, get one free with rewards. And Pop-Tarts. 49 cents. Select flavors. Helping America fuel better. Ask about the PetroServe USA rewards. There is one near you.
Sounds good, Ronnie. And again, if you want to give us a call, you can call us in the studio line at 701-293-9000. Thanks to our friends over at Our buildings and the studio line for emailing is studio@wdayradionow.com. Thanks to Teresa and the gang over at Red Wing Shoes.
Absolutely.
I can't say that too fast, otherwise I would.
Red Wing Shoes and Boots.
I sound like Elmer Fudd if I do it too quickly. So, hey, we're going to go in a little bit to Rick Schlegel, as well as, and then later on in the show, we'll have Sarah Heinle, the finance director and head of election division at the Cass County, and talk about some integrity in elections. And Alex Nisbet will be on, a candidate for Fargo Parks. We're kind of keeping it all local yesterday and today. But I think we have, do we have Jace on the line?
Yes, we do. It sounds like he's in a place where there is certainly a lot of people today for a birthday celebration.
Yeah, that is correct, Ronnie. We're here at the Allsager Meats location at 5050 Timber Creek Parkway here in Fargo, North Dakota. One of four locations that they have across two-state region here. They've got another location here in town on Veterans Avenue. And then, of course, they've got their original store over in Audubon. They got one down in Breckenridge as well. And right now they're celebrating their one-year anniversary at this location, the newest location of the four, soon to be five, hopefully, with any luck here in the next coming weeks. Right now the special $4.99 lean ground beef per pound while supplies last. It's limited to three per customer per day, and this is the ultimate, it's a premium butcher shop. It's the ultimate farm to fork type of operation. John and Liz, they started this, and they've been bringing you their family's own grown meats here in the upper Midwest and bringing them right to their store so you can put it right on your table. They've got everything from pre-seasoned, pre-marinated chickens. They've got pork chops, ground pork. They've got steaks. Chops, anything you could possibly want. They got meat sticks. They got some jerky here. They've even got the seasonings and a few other sauces and things like that to top off your whole menu. And they've also got these great butcher bundles. And you may ask, what is a butcher bundle? But it's a great way to fill that freezer with premium, locally raised beef, and you can save money by doing it. They start anywhere from $50 up to $900, the Cadillac, if you will, of the packages. That's the Rancher's Reserve. I mean, this is going to fill up your freezer for pretty much the entire summer into the wintertime. They got three-pound chuck roast, eight T-bones, eight 16-ounce ribeyes, six 12- to 14-ounce sirloins, 50 pounds of ground beef, and you've got 4 pounds of 1 pound packages of stew meat, which if you want to make some good stew in the wintertime when it's chilly out, or you just want to make it, you know, cut it up a little more finely, maybe use it for some stir fry, something like that, they've got that. They've got a moo oink and cluck package for just $100, a 4 pound chuck roast, 4 mix and match marinated chicken breasts. They've got all kinds of flavors here locally. They've got two pounds of thick cut bacon, about a pound in a package there, 2 pack of bacon wrapped boneless pork chops. We got 2 packs of two each, and then 2 pounds of ground beef. So anything and everything you can imagine they have. They've even got a breakfast bundle. So if you want to just kind of cut out the guessing of what to get when you're here at Allsager's, just go ahead and ask one of the great staff members here about one of their butcher bundles. They'll get you hooked up, get you in and out the door as quickly as possible. It's easy, fast, and it's all locally raised and brought right to your table. So over here at Allsager Meats, 5050 Timber Creek Parkway, we're going to be here up until 5 o'clock till the end of the Jay Thomas Show. Get over here and help them celebrate their one-year anniversary at the Timber Creek Parkway location.
Sounds great. Keep them rolling in there. We, again, well, Rich Schlegel, I think I said Rick by mistake, so I apologize if
no
I said,
worries,
but it's Rich, R-I-C-H, and then Schlegel is S-L-A-G-E-L-E.
Correct.
So I just want to make sure, in case you want to Google him for more information. I know he's also on Facebook and a variety of other things. So so welcome to the show. We're going to have you kind of tell us a little, the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, thank you, Tim. Yeah, Rich Schlegel. Our family's been in Fargo for now 20 years, and we came from the Twin Cities. I'm a military brat. My dad was a Air Force pilot, retired as a lieutenant colonel, served 3 tours in Vietnam, since passed a number of years ago, but did it with a lot of distinguished reverence for this country, didn't talk much about it. I am married to Heather. We have 2 grown kids, grandkids, here, fortunately, both They and their spouses are here in the Fargo area.
Nice.
I live in District 41, just west of Bluemont Lakes, and have been in the business community in various roles, most recently in the last 10 years with the AEC, the Architects, Engineers, and Construction World, the industry, and currently serve as the regional director for McGough Construction.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, your life's going pretty good. You got grandkids, life's good.
Yep.
Why do you want to run for the legislature?
It's a great question, and I don't know if I would be able to give you the best answer other than to say this. When folks who you admire over the last 6 months reach out and suggest that you might have some skill set or temperament or discernment that might help with what's happening in Bismarck or even perhaps just politics as a whole, you tend to at least think about it. I've always had interest in what is happening in our communities. I am certainly not a single focus issue person. I try to think of myself as pragmatic and maybe common sense is my approach. And I think I spend most of my days working with folks, selling ideas, or in fact, I spent today downtown at the convention center meeting with the city council and our city commission, and that's all about trying to find a win-win for the community. So I think I have a decent skill set when it comes to that.
So do you have what I'll call, you know, main pillars or, you know, issues that you're, you know, I know you care about a lot of issues,
yeah.
But I mean, there's some really main tenets that you say, here's what I really care about, or here's some topics what I really care about.
Yep, there are, and I would add that those are topics that I think I have some interest, or excuse me, some information. As time goes on, I'll become smarter on those, but I would say education. Through my job, I get a chance to sit in a lot of school board meetings. I have some challenges and some concerns about education today, especially K-12. Mm-hmm. We saw the article yesterday on administrative spending in the Fargo right. School District. I was not aware of that. That, to me, is a little concerning. I would say also less government, in my opinion, is better. I am, as one of the leaders of downtown, our downtown McGough office, I have seen and have expressed my concerns to both city administration and the new police chief about public safety. Now, public safety can be handled more by the local mm-hmm. elected officials, but that is something I definitely have an interest in as well.
Yeah, and again, you know, sometimes it's about tweaking here and there. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember every session when I go, I was in a building with another organization or firm, and he would always remind me, he goes, Tim, we got by for 120 plus years without whatever you're going to put
exactly.
in. So be careful what you put
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Don't do something stupid here. So,
correct.
Okay, I get it. So you just got back from Washington, D.C. As part of the chamber, they go out every year, mm-hmm. kind of the fly-in, I think they call it.
That's right.
So what are some of the things that you're kind of promoting from a Fargo, Cass County, Red River Valley, North Dakota standpoint to try to get across to the delegations that are in D.C. to say, hey, don't lose sight of this, or we need more attention to that, or mm-hmm. don't do this. Or do
yeah,
that.
And so it is called the fly-in. This is my second fly-in, and Shannon and her team at the chamber do a fantastic job. We probably had 40-some what I would call leaders, elected leaders and business leaders out there. We met with their entire delegation. Mm-hmm. They're very generous to give us those times. And I would say probably in three areas. One is immigration. We need workers, the right kind of workers, yep. the ones who have been vetted, obviously, but our businesses need workers. Housing, that came up a number of discussion points with, I think it's 10,600 or 16,600 units that need to be built in the Fargo area in the next 10 years. That's a big ask. And then I think the other thing was... With the state to our east, Minnesota, having some significant challenges around fraud, and that just got announced today with the arrests, at least I saw it at the gym on the TV, one of the things that we want to ensure is that our systems are being done properly and someone's helping watch over those processes.
Yeah. So I normally don't ask people about work stuff when they're running for office, but Goff, who you're working for, give us some examples of buildings, facilities, and the like that they've done in currently or in the past, pick a number, 10 years, 12 years, because sometimes you're known by the work you produce. And I just think it's of interest how how these local companies can really do some great projects.
Yeah, and so McGough is a St. Paul-based company, 70 years, family, still family-owned by the McGough family. We've had our Fargo office now for 10 years. We have just been blessed. And when I say blessed, we have been, I think the last number I had was 23, 24 projects that we've been awarded in the last 3 years in the state of North Dakota. And these range from the Fargo Sports Complex, just south of here, Block 9 in downtown Fargo, the NDSU Offerdahl Complex we're doing right now. We're really proud of the Hector Airport terminal expansion and the parking garage there. We are in the midst of that. The Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater downtown. Oh, Lord, what else? The downtown Moorhead Loop, the downtown Moorhead City Hall. Just to name a few.
Yeah, those are a lot I can relate to. Because it's always interesting, some of the projects that people take on, the complexity of each one of those is very, very different. And I was just, speaking of construction, I was talking to somebody about roads and bridges and stuff, and it's like my old friend Rick Ingebrigtsen used to talk about, the Red River Valley is basically, we build on loon poop.
That's right.
Because it's just so this mushy clay soils until you get down to about 125, 140 feet, depending upon where you're at. Because we did the Shield store, and one part of the store, I think it was 125, so you hit bedrock, and the other part was 140 feet. So it's a ways down there to drive some of those pylons, to get that stability that some of those buildings need.
Yeah, we didn't do the Sanford Hospital that was performed by another construction management firm, but if I recall, that was a major deal. There were hundreds of piles put into that ground to support that structure.
Oh yeah, big and nice to have it in the community. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So, when you're going campaigning, and this is a new thing for you, you're a newbie, and you've got new ideas and everything. But one of the advantages you have is fresh ideas, and whether you're going door to door or you run into people at the grocery store or at church or at coffee shops, what are you hearing from them in terms of things that they go, if you get to Bismarck, make sure you do this, or what are they liking, like the property tax relief that they're getting this past year?
Yeah, so the property
$1,600, for example.
Property tax has been well received. People would like more, and we were out as we mentioned in D.C. I'll add to that. One of the senators mentioned that's all great as long as we realize that the legacy fund and the principal, have to be maintained. With the additional enhancement for oil recovery, hopefully that we can extend that lifespan. But where I'm going with that is this idea that we are, giving back to our residents is awesome, but we've got to be mindful of where the revenue comes from.
Yeah, because I think, right now, 50% or just a tish over comes from oil.
Correct.
Money, whether it's directly or some, and then that's probably not counting the indirects that are, selling tanks and everything like that, and the flaring of and getting, natural gas going and everything. So, any thoughts in terms of, this is like the impossible question.
Okay.
And I get tired of people making big promises and never delivering on things. So it gets frustrating for people that I'm going to do this. And, part of it is like working together. And that's why I think one of the things that you would have going for you, when you're doing a complex construction project, you have all of these different subs in general, that you're working with to pull it all together in sequencing and timing. And I think that plays well in terms of ideologically being a good legislator, because I don't care if you could be the only one that votes for something. That doesn't do me any good. You have to bring along other people, and you can't be that person who is just the lone wolf. We got like a minute, so I'm just gonna.
Yeah.
I'm making my point, but I'm gonna ask you, and we got about a minute or so here. Okay. So, why should people vote for you?
Answer now?
Answer
okay.
now.
Okay. Why should people vote for me? I would say this. One is I think I walk the talk. I have a due north compass with a hope of serving. I remember one of my favorite mentors always said that you want to be able to leave something, you know, better than you found it. And in the case of going out to Bismarck, I'll serve. I'll do it in a respectful way, a quiet way. And then I'll look forward to getting back to home.
Yeah. Hanging out with the kids and grandkids.
That's right.
Well, you have a good rest of the week and
Thank
a good
you,
weekend.
Tim.
I appreciate you coming on the show again. And that's Rich Schlegel, who is running for District 41 in what I call South Fargo, mm-hmm. House of Representatives in the North Dakota. So thank you for being on. I'm Tim Flacco sitting in for Jay on the Jay Thomas Show. Next up, we'll have Sarah Hindley, the Finance Director for the Cass County government.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check 406. It is the Jay Thomas Show, guest hosted by Tim Flackle today. Another guest in the air chair coming up very, very shortly, Tim. A check of All Sauger Meats, 1 year anniversary in Timber Creek. A lot of great things going on out there. Many, many meat bundles. And I love the music reference, Stake Me Home Tonight, one of the many meat bundles, uh-huh. because you know me, I'm 12. I like the alliteration on words, you know.
Right. But, and we still have a winner coming up today.
Yes, before 5 p.m., you must listen for Cheeseburger in Paradise. And when you hear it, be caller 9 to win $100 worth of All Sauger Meats.
Very good. Hey, we have Jace on the line?
We do.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm over here at All Sauger Meats at 5050 Timber Creek Parkway. It is off 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery, just east of Kingpins and Sweet Shots, we're all familiar with. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary at the Timber Creek location with the day of deals over here. This is one of four locations that they currently have. They, of course, have got the other one across town at Veterans Avenue. They do a lot of the work over there, a lot of the prep, getting everything ready to be bundled up and packaged and sent over here. They've got the original location in Audubon, and then, of course, another location out in Breckenridge. The owners here, Jocelyn and Liz, do a great job, obviously, getting everything ready. It's truly a farm-to-fork operation, and they want to be helping this community and give back any way they can. But today it's all about them and all these deals. $4.99 per pound lean ground beef while supplies last. Limit three per customer. So if you want to get on that good deal, you got to get over here now. They're open until 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to be here until 5 o'clock today. They've got pork, chicken, seafood. They got condiments, spices. I even spied in this little corner over here. They've even got some cheesecake bites that I'm kind of dying to try out. They got some jerky, some beef sticks as well. They've even got some bones over here that you can probably cook down a little bit, give to your pup if you want to do that. You can fill your freezer with premium locally raised beef, and you can save some money while doing it. We've been talking about the butcher bundles all day today. They got a variety of price points, anywhere from $50 to $900. Ronnie, you talked about the Stake Me Home Tonight one. That one kind of catches my eye. Four ribeyes, four New York strips, four tenderloin steaks, 8 pounds of ground beef, $229.99. Great deal for that one. If you are more of a breakfast person, you know what? They got a Crack of Dawn breakfast bundle. You got two slabs of bacon, about a pound apiece, 2 pounds of ground seasoned pork sausage, two ring sausages of any flavor of your choice, three packs of sausage links, and one pack of hash browns. Like I said, they got seasoning and sauces here to go with all of this. If you want to find out more about this, obviously you could stop on over between now and 5 o'clock while we're here, or they're open until 7 o'clock tonight. All Sauger Meats, you can check out their Facebook or Instagram for daily updates, specials, and giveaways. And obviously, if you guys are listening at home, make sure you stay tuned into the Jay Thomas Show for a chance to win a $100 gift card, because you could do some damage over here for $100. You could set your Memorial Day weekend up really, really nicely for the grill. So get over here, 5050 Timber Creek Parkway here in Fargo, north off of 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery. All Sauger Meats celebrating their one-year anniversary.
Fantastic. Jace, thank you very much. And by the way, Jay returns on Monday. The Warehouse Wonder Store over in the Industrial Park in Moorhead, they've got all the things you might need. Summer will eventually get here. Spring is here. If you're thinking about some home projects, you get brand name stuff at Warehouse Wonders, including appliances, stoves, washer and dryers, refrigerators. See their Facebook page and check them out in the Industrial Park in Moorhead. Warehouse Wonders, they are quite wonderful.
Very good. And again, if you want to give us a call in the studio line, it's 701-293-9000. Thanks to Thor Buildings. And you can email us thanks to Therese and the gang over at Red Wing Shoes at studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. And as talked about earlier in the show, we have Sarah Heinle, who is on with us this afternoon. She's the Cass County Finance Director, Auditor, Treasurer, and Superintendent of Schools. And she heads up the election division. So she has like six name tags on today, I think it is. So we want to really focus on some of the election issues that are coming up. Election, you know, making sure that we, you know, that it's very secure. We're about 20 days away from the, what, you know, election day, using air quotes, on June 9th. And, you know, it's really important with, you know, election integrity. And she's heading that up. And she's been really working hard with a lot of her people and the various, you know, people that are experts in the area. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
So what's Cass County doing to help ensure election integrity at the ballot box?
Well, the first thing we use, of course, is our equipment. That's the biggest thing that can ensure the integrity of your vote. It's the testing. Actually, we just had our public test today at 10 a.m. at our warehouse, showing that every ballot that goes into every machine is counted, how it's counted, and proving the accuracy of those counts. On every machine, we ran through a deck of about 2,000 ballots to ensure that they would count accurately. So that, to me, is the first part of election integrity.
So every one of those machines, 2,000 ballots or more. How many machines?
We tested a total of 50 for the actual voting tabulators, which are our DS200s, plus we are testing the two 450s, which are our big ones that we use at canvassing, and we'll also use during the absentee board.
Okay. So do we use the same machines that do other people in the state use the machines that we're using?
Oh, the entire state is on the exact same system. We use the same poll pads. We use the same DS200s, same tabulators, same express votes. It's all the same statewide.
So the machines, what do you do to ensure that no one gets to them, like an elected official, before, after, or at any time that may compromise election integrity?
Well, of course, they're kept at a separate location that is only accessible by election officials like myself and my staff. And also beyond that, it's the security seals and the seal logs we do. Every machine, when we finish testing it, we will put a seal on that machine to ensure that the media cannot be removed and that no one can tamper with that media. The seal will be recorded by our office and then verified at the polls as well by that election worker to ensure that nothing has happened to that machine without our knowledge.
So it's like a seal, and then on election day, when they start, they cut them.
Correct.
They check the number, they cut them, they use them.
Yep.
And then they verify the numbers across the board. I know one of the questions that I had from a Taylor K was, how many polling locations are there compared to other years? Are they more or less in the same areas as previous elections, or have you tweaked a couple?
We do have a few less this year simply because some of our polling locations that are very popular with the public, like Northview Church, are under renovations this year, so therefore they were unable to host us. We're hoping, of course, to pick them back up in future elections.
And how many total?
15 total.
15 total, okay. And then is there early voting again?
Oh, of course. Early voting starts on June 2nd. It'll start at 11 a.m. and it'll go till 7 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Fargo Dome, Hartle Egg Building at Red River, or at the fairgrounds. Castleton, it's no longer at the Days Inn because we moved it to the City Hall this year.
Okay.
So make sure to go there.
And what do they need to bring with them to make sure that they can vote without having to do something funky?
Easiest way is to bring in a current ID. Make sure you've contacted the DMV if your address on your ID does not match your current address, so therefore they can update it in their system. It doesn't require you to get a new ID or anything. You just need to contact them and let them know. It can be done online through their website very simply. If for some reason you can't do that, make sure to bring a current utility bill, lease, something along that lines that proves your residency, and we can use that as supplemental to make sure your vote gets counted.
And a passport won't work?
No, a passport will not work. It has to prove your residency.
Mm-hmm. Because there's sometimes confusion about that. I think there's less of a, I don't want to call it a problem, but fewer students voting in the June election than there would be in the fall.
Of course.
But if you're a student at, say, NDSU, what do they have to do if, you know, because you can only vote, you know, part of it is only vote in one place. Don't vote in, back in Tioga and then vote here because you're going to get in bad trouble. But you have to be a resident for how long before you can vote?
30 days.
30 days. So they could show what do they need to show? Because they may have their driver's license from Tioga, but what do they need to show to make sure that they can vote here in Fargo?
If they want to vote in Fargo, they need to declare their residency. And part of that is getting a North Dakota ID. So they need a North Dakota ID. They can't come in with a Minnesota ID mm-hmm. or an ID from another state. Or, of course, if they have a tribal ID, that works as well if they're part of one of the tribes. Or if you are unable to obtain an ID because you're in a long-term care facility, something like that, you can actually bring in a certificate from that facility to vote.
And by law, if you're living in South Fargo for 30 days, you're supposed to declare your residency?
I won't go into the legalities of residency.
I mean, that's kind of like with people, you know, with their cars sometimes. They'll shop at whichever they can get the lowest insurance for a while until they go, you know, you've lived here for three years. Because, you know, where I work used to have this guy, you know, that had California plates. And they go, you know, you probably should get these changed. You've been here for a couple of years now. So, and the vote counting machines are, again, can you say that again? Or spell it out literally, maybe?
The vote counting machines?
Yeah, what brand? What brand are they?
Oh, Election System and Software is who we do most of our stuff through. It's ES&S. They handle most of our equipment and those needs. We get some of our seals through Intab. They also help us out there.
And a question that comes up repeatedly with people asking is, do they have any connectivity, these voting machines, to the internet in any way?
Absolutely none, Tim. There is no connection. There's no network connection ability. The only way to access these machines is through the USBs that we seal into those machines. That's where your votes go. That's what they're pulled off with. So there is no connectivity to the internet. Even the initial machine that they're downloaded onto at the Cass County Courthouse, which is secured in our vault, is not connected to the network in any way, shape, or form to ensure the integrity of those votes.
So on election night, when they tabulate the numbers, it's held within the machine. Do they retrieve it from each individual machine, or do they take that, I'll call it a chip, for lack of a better, I don't know what.
That's fine.
They take it out, or they count them, and then do they take it out and give it to the proper election worker to take into Cass County?
On election night, the inspector at each location will actually fill a bag, a little baggie that we provided that they can seal, with the actual, we'll call it chip for your sake, but the USB drive that includes the results, along with a paper-printed total tape, just in case, and deliver it directly to our office at the Cass County Courthouse to ensure that nothing happens in between.
And you've been doing a lot of training, you and your office in the state of North Dakota. In Cass County, about how many election day or week workers might we have? I mean, it's a big number, right?
Well, for our temps, we just had 12 of them out at our warehouse helping us test equipment and get the ballots run through, because, of course, 2,000 ballots per machine is a bit much for just my small staff to mm-hmm. do alone. So we had those. We also have a couple of full-time temps in our office who are just helping with stuffing and making sure everybody's ballots get out for absentee process. But on election day itself, we'll have over 300 people from all around Cass County helping us make this election happen, and we couldn't do it without them.
And if they are working at the polling location, say, at the Fargo Dome, they are there for the entire day, essentially, unless something catastrophic would happen to them health-wise or something, right?
Yeah. We do occasionally offer split shifts, but no, for the most part, they are there all day. They show up usually at least an hour or two before the polls start, and they're there until at least an hour or two after they close. So this is an extremely long day for those individuals.
And one of the things I always caution people about, because I've been in elections and I've been reporting on elections with WDAY and 1100 The Flag, is the cautionary tale of sometimes, like as an example in Fargo, there's certain districts that will lean towards this party or that party, or also there's the early voting that comes in, which will probably, again, probably, you know, quite possibly exceed 40% or maybe more. So how are those, at what time, at what points are those counted? I mean, I'm guessing some of the polling locations are, if you have district 46 and you get precincts 1 and 3 and you just report precincts 1 and 3 and then the other ones will come in later. But how do the early ballots work in terms of getting them counted and getting them reported out? Because oftentimes you see on the news where they, oh, we're declaring so-and-so the winner. It's like, well, you only got half the votes here.
Well, for early voting, it's simple at the end of the day, whether it's at the Fargo Dome, it'll be out on Friday because they don't have the availability for Saturday, so don't go there on Saturday to vote, or the other ones at the end of the day on Saturday. They are going to seal up their machines. They are not going to touch the ballots. They are not going to remove the media. They're not going to close the polls because none of that can be done until Election Day. Those equipments are going to be shipped over to our annex building and secured in an actual storage room that's only accessible by myself and my staff and is also monitored by camera to ensure that nobody else can get in there. And they will stay there and all seals will be broken by our absentee inspector on Election Day. And it's usually at the last thing they do, so.
How many different, like I'll call them unique ballots do you have? Because you, like in the example, in Fargo, you have, you know, this district and this school board is, you know, here's the lines for that. And here's the lines, you know, the West Fargo School District goes into Fargo. I mean, do you know off the top of your head how many there are? I mean, there's.
Technically, there can be up to 102 splits, but I believe this year we only have like 98 of them.
Oh, talk about something I don't want to proofread.
Yeah, those tapes get real long.
So we're going to shift gears off elections because one of the things I wanted to ask is to give listeners a sense of how much some things cost. You know, roads and bridges projects and stuff. Give us some examples because I prepped you up so you could get some of that pulled together to give examples of how some of these various projects cost because it's a big number.
Yeah. I'll, of course, caveat these are just the approved contracts that have come through the commission so far this year. And, of course, if you want a lot of detail on this, Kyle Litchie at our highway department, he's our county engineer. He's an excellent man, and he loves his roads and would be glad to discuss mm-hmm. them with you, I'm sure. But if you're looking at they're doing some asphalt culverts and storm sewer repairs, they've already got $7.2 million that's going to go out. I believe some of that is going to be reimbursed by the state, but yeah. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head. They've got mill overlays, and those are at 3.4. You've got some other incidental seal coats, that kind of stuff, for $2 and $3 million. So it really adds up fast when you start looking at the cost of maintaining all the highways and roads throughout the county.
Yeah, when people talk about a little, you know, where to cut money, I mean, the county's only got so many things, you know, it's 63% of the budget basically is law enforcement, the jails, prosecution. There's roads and bridges and stuff, but there's not a whole lot of other things after that point. It doesn't leave too much in terms of that. So we want everybody to have a good experience with the 3% cap.
Okay.
So, you know, there's sometimes this confusion about what it is and what it isn't. For example, some people think that it's a every building, every house cannot exceed 3%. Walk us through that, what it can and can't be.
What the 3% is actually doing is limiting the amount of dollars that the entity can levy. So in other words, simple thing, if you're levying $50, you can only go 3% over that $50. Plus, of course, if there's a large new growth happening around the area, lots of new buildings coming mm-hmm. up, you would be allowed to go over by that new growth amount's valuation. But what actually happens on your tax bill will vary depending upon what happened with the valuations of properties within your area. If the value of your property went up dramatically compared to others, you put in a new garage, you did a lot of new remodeling, mm-hmm. that type of thing, your bill will go up by more than 3%. So it can yeah. vary. It just
but somebody else
us.
is going to counterbalance that because I may do 3.5%, but Ronnie does 2.5%.
Exactly.
Okay. Because I think that there's a lot of confusion that came out of the legislative session with that, and people were making statements or making promises that weren't quite on par with what was actually in the bill. So, and we want people to have a good experience and to understand it as well as possible. Is there anything else that kind of flags up that people ask about on the 3% cap?
That's usually the biggest question they have, and that, of course, in the new growth calculations and how much that can go up. And, well, that depends on the area, of course, and that is a number we receive from our assessor's office as to what is new growth and what are the new buildings versus what is just mm-hmm. movement.
So, like right now between our office here, the studio, and Border States to the north, there's an open lot, and if somebody builds a, pick a number, $20 million facility on that.
Tim Flackle Water Park.
Tim Flackle Water Park. I can't swim. I'm not a strong swimmer.
That would be new growth.
You get that as new growth. Or, like, as you referenced, if you do some significant remodeling, because one of the organizations I'm with, they're looking at buying an old, you know, building, and they may have to put, you know, like, four times more of the cost of the building into it to get it up to where they want it to be. That would be new growth, likely.
Yep.
So we got about 90 seconds left. Is there anything else that from your office that you field questions on, you go, oh, I wish I could just tell people about this?
Not really. The only thing I want to do is tell people to go out and vote.
Exactly.
That's my biggest thing right now, is I keep telling everyone the polls are open June 9th. Please come to early voting, the 2nd through the 6th. Call our office, request an absentee, do it now. Get your votes in.
And there is no excuse for not voting, as for as many ways and for as long as people can vote. And the other point I think that you and I have talked about, because we sit by each other during commission meetings, is for some elections, this is it. We're not going on to the fall.
Oh, yeah.
City commissions, park board, park district, school boards, they're done at the June primary. So,
yeah, in my opinion, your most important races are right here on this primary, and we get the least turnout for the primary. Yeah. This is what decides your school systems. This is your city commissions. These are the people that actually have a strong impact on what happens in your local communities. Please get out and vote.
Well, thank you. That's Sarah Heindley with Cass County, and thanks, Ronnie Lee, again, for producing today's show. Up next, and then we're down the home stretch, we have Alex Nisbet, who's coming in, the candidate for Fargo Park District. So thanks a lot, Sarah. I'm Tim Flacco, sitting in for Jay and the Jay Thomas Show on 970 WDY and 93.1 FM and 1100 The Flag.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check, 437, the Jay Thomas Show. Final segment, guest hosted by Tim Flackle, and I just found out, Tim, these guys are at Rib Fest this year.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And I know it's one of your favorite songs, I think. I hear this a lot, shall we say.
I'm a big fan of the Dazed and Confused movie, so okay. It's on the soundtrack.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, we have Jace Denman right now from Allsager Meats. I believe the final check-in with him at Timber Creek. And yeah. I heard the party's still going, Jace.
Absolutely. The party's still going. They have been cranking out a ton of sales today. A lot of people coming through getting this great deal. $4.99 per pound for lean ground beef while supplies last. Currently limited to 3 per customer, but you might give the manager, Leah, a little bit of a wink and a nod, and she might hook you up a little bit there. But we're at Allsager Meats, 5050 Timber Creek Parkway here in Fargo, north off of 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery, east of Sweet Shots and Kingpins. We're here with one of the owners, Liz Allsager. Liz, happy one-year anniversary here at this location. I mean, I'm sure this last 12 months at this location has gone by pretty fast.
It has. I said earlier, it feels like we've been here 5 years.
And this is the second new location, obviously, in the Fargo area. You have the one on Veterans Boulevard. That's only been there for, what, 2 years now?
Yes.
So you got 2 years over there, your original location in Audubon. You got one in Breckenridge, correct? And then, is the cat out of the bag? Does everybody know that you're expanding as well?
Yes, everybody knows that we are coming to the Jamestown area beginning of June.
There you go. June, you'll have a chance to get Allsager Meats out there, right there. Farm-to-fork type of operation. What inspired you guys to start not just raising cattle and producing quality beef, but turning around and selling it directly to the customer?
2020 happened. Couldn't get into the Packers. Yeah. Everything was so backed up. Mm-hmm. And we thought, hey, why aren't we controlling this entire process ourselves? You know, we got the calf to the cow. We get it to the packer. Maybe we can just be that person and sell it to the consumer.
Well, there you go. I mean, and obviously people have been just lining up. I think we did an estimate. You guys have sold probably over 900 pounds of ground beef here at this location today. This place is hopping. It hasn't really slowed down since I've been here since 2. So it's been a great day over here. You guys got pork, chicken, seafood. You even got some condiments, some spices. I've got my eye on some cheesecake bites. I'm going to fight anybody that tries to steal those from me. Meat sticks, jerky. I mean, anything and everything kind of from snout to tail you guys have on these different products. Is there anything that I missed as far as products? I know you got pizza as well now that have the famous All Saugor meats on it, right?
Yes. We haven't even talked about the pizzas in a while. But I mean, we've even got things like dog bones. Come in and get your dog bones. We've got so much in here.
Yeah, and it's it's a good location over here. A little bit easier for people on the south side of town to go ahead and get some food and get some meats, especially for a big weekend like this, for Memorial Day weekend. Have I left anything out, Liz? Anything else you want to tell the people to tell them to come out here? You're open till 7 tonight,
open
right?
Open till 7 here. We probably have about 100 pounds of ground beef left. Come and get your 3 pounds of ground beef for $4.99.
There you go. Thank you, Liz. It's a great way to fill your freezer with premium locally raised beef, and you can save some money. They've even got butcher bundles out here. Ronnie's personal favorite right now, just on name alone, Steak Me Home tonight. 4 ribeyes, 4 New York strips, 4 tenderloins, 8 pounds of ground beef. They've got that. They've got pork petite pack, pork primes, Porky's prime pack. They've got a crack of dawn breakfast bundle. They got it. You know, you want it, they've got it. You just come over here. If you want to find out more, swing by here, 5050 Timber Creek Parkway here in Fargo North off of 52nd Avenue next to Jen's Bakery. Or, as always, you can check out their Facebook or Instagram profiles and pages for daily updates, specials, and giveaways. Liz, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Ronnie, I heard that maybe you've got something to give away to get some more people here inside All Saugors.
I like that lead-in, Jace. Be caller 9 right now, 701-293-9000. You've heard All Saugors all day today, and today's your day to win. $100 gift card to All Saugors, any of their locations. Caller number 9 will get a winner. And in the interim, Tim Flackel has a guest in studio.
Yeah, I want to welcome to the show Alex Nisbet, who's a candidate for the board of the Fargo Park District. And I've known his family, his mom and dad, for a long time. But tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Yeah, thanks, Tim, and thanks for having me. It's a beautiful studio that you got here in Fargo.
It's very nice. Yep.
It's very nice. So my name, as Tim said, is Alex Nisbet. I'm a regulatory policy specialist at XL Energy here in Fargo. I'm a father to a young daughter. I'm a husband, and I love Fargo a lot. I'm passionate, practical, ready to serve, and I'm running for Fargo Park Board because turning 40 in a little over a month here, and I figured it was time for me to start getting more engaged, give something back to the community. I think I've got a lot of skills and tools that would be a good fit here on the park board, and this has been an amazing process, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
You know, your father, Mark, is one of my favorite people that I've ever worked with and known. So what have you learned from him that will serve you well in your role as Park District board member?
That's nice of you to say. He's one of my favorite people too. He worked at XL Energy, where I work at, for about 40 years. In his various roles there, he worked for everybody. We serve natural gas and electricity to the vast majority of Fargo. You care about all of your customers. You don't want any pockets of the city to be left behind. And a great part of his role is that he got to be on a lot of different boards, committees, groups, things of that nature. And he really got to give back to everybody. And he cared about every single resident of this town. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that the park board is doing a great job on and needs to focus, whether it's North Fargo, South Fargo, Central Fargo. I think he always really cared a lot about that. And the other anecdote, my brothers and I always like, you stand by the coach with your helmet on, be ready to go in, best ability is availability, work hard, good things will happen. So that's what I'm here to try to do.
Yeah, and he always looked for the best in people and the best in situations and make sure you could have a win-win situation. I always loved that about him. And just so we know, caller number 9 is Brian, who's the winner today. So.
Yeah, congratulations, Brian.
So
thank you so much.
So I don't think you can make it into the studio today, but I'm guessing tomorrow anytime.
Yep, even through next week. Yep. We'll have it here at the studio. Just bring your picture ID, Brian, and you got $100 to any of the All Soggers locations. Congrats.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Have a good one and get over there and buy some stuff. Great sales on going on today.
Including the Memorial Day. If you're heading out to your lake place, they got a lake place breakfast bundle. Yep. So.
I have a email here from Sandra, who, and I'll kind of bundle, you know, how it goes together with another one. What role, if any, should the Fargo Parks play in community events, and what is the value that community parks and activity centers have for communities such as Fargo?
It's a great question. So the park facility that my wife, my daughter, and my big golden retriever, Lily, use the most is Silverleaf Park. It's just a block and a half away. It's where we always go on the weekends to get out with our dog, our daughter, get a little bit of exercise for everybody. So I think it's that community cohesion from those local parks that's extremely important. And each one of them gives a little flair to the local people around you. And it's just a great way to get out, meet your neighbors. That's one part that I've absolutely loved about running this campaign is that it's given me a good reason to meet my neighbors, knock on doors, find out that everybody in your community, they generally want the same things. They got kids, grandkids, care about the same things. And I think having those local parks where people can gather together, actually know some names, people in your community, it just makes you feel a lot more connected. So I think those are extremely important to have those local parks.
Pickleball has taken the United States by storm. Are we able to keep up yet with the number of pickleball courts for the pressure that we have from citizens wanting to participate in those activities?
It's a great question. I know in the Sports Center complex, they have 8 new pickleball courts. They've done some outdoor courts up in North Fargo in the Longfellow Park where I used to live. They had some outdoor courts there. I would imagine the pickleball players always say that there's never enough courts, and you might have the tennis players saying there are too many pickleball courts.
Yeah.
So it depends on who you ask. But yeah, that sport is growing a lot, and it's just great to see people out getting exercise, staying active at any age.
One of the things I've been trying to do with the local candidates today and yesterday is ask them questions they may not normally get, because you've been, you know, in various forms, whether it's the chamber or other things that, you know, people are putting on, written, you know, reports to different, you know, League of Women Voters. But here's one maybe that would be a new one. Should there be a differential rates for golf and other use for residents of the city of Fargo versus those who live outside Fargo or the metro, you know, who don't have their homes taxed to meet the budgetary needs of the Fargo Park District?
That's a great question. We love our neighbors to the west, to the east, to the southwest, northwest, but it's just a matter of fact that we're paying property taxes here in Fargo, and there's no real benefit when it comes to Edgewood green fees or Rose Creek green fees. There can maybe be some sort of benefit as far as maybe getting a tee time earlier or potentially having a lower rate for city residents as they're already paying those property taxes. Same thing with pool fees. I know that there's been a lot of discussion around what those rates should be. The fact that people are already paying, you're sort of getting hit twice with it. In the utility space, you're always worrying about cost causation, cost drivers, and that's something that I've talked about with the CFO and with Susan Faust at the Park District. That's something that they're absolutely interested in looking at in the future. It just comes down to residency, being able to prove that, being able to carry that out, but that would absolutely be something that I would be championing and looking into more.
And this isn't really a question, it's a comment that we got from somebody, because I get texts and, you know, we get emails and we get phone calls, but I'm a big fan of Alex Nisbet's, you know, nice guy. So
it's great.
Yeah.
Well, whoever said that, I'm a fan of as well.
And not even a relative of yours, so there
you go. That's good. I probably paid them, but that's all right.
I had a question in advance. I got texted to me from someone who said, what is the biggest opportunity the Fargo Parks Foundation, so it's the foundation, has in order to best serve the Fargo Park District and the residents of the city?
Another very good question. So I would say the foundation, as far as fundraising, partnering, and really kind of telling the story about what the Park District is all about, would be great. There's a lot of very successful businessmen and women in this town that are passionate about tennis, golf, indoor facilities, pickleball. I think there's a way to tap into those people, those businesses where you could really maximize the dollar, keep the mill levy where it's at, and try to get people some self-funding, some other alternative revenue streams where you can really get some important things done, whether it's new tennis, indoor tennis courts, or an indoor facility in North Fargo. There's a lot of people that are very passionate about it. And if you can get up processes by which people can donate money and really sort of kickstart that, get it outside of the normal park district budgeting process and planning process, try to sort of fast track some of those things, I think that would be a win-win for everybody involved.
This isn't a question, but it's just a comment from my perspective. I really like what they do in terms of, you know, some of the floral, you know, the flowers and stuff that they do, whether it's at Ole Ting and Park, which is the smallest park by far in Fargo, to, you know, some other things. And I really appreciate, you know, because those are really very labor intense. They provide good, solid jobs for young people in our community. Sometimes they're high schoolers and maybe college home for the summer. They get a chance to interact and work with other, you know, like-minded people. So, I really appreciate that program, that it really adds to the quality of place here in the metro by what they're doing. So I want to shift next. We have about 4 minutes left here. Recently, the Park District completed a master plan. Now, I don't expect the listeners to know what's in the master plan, but can you pull out a couple things in the master plan that you think are especially important that you say, we really, you know, we need to make sure this doesn't sit gathering dust on the shelf, but that we really enact because this is really important to the service we provide for Fargo?
Yeah, it's another very good question. So they had a strategic plan that was approved a couple of years ago. In there, it's a really good roadmap. And then they have various master plans, one of them being the Yonker Farm. And they have other, like they had the Island Park pool master plan as well. Island Park, they've largely actioned that. The Yonker Farm one is a really interesting one to me. And I think that that's very important, especially to our Northside residents, where a master plan is great, but unless there's action involved with it, it's not really doing much good. A master plan, it's granting you the ability to act, but it's not a requirement to act. There needs to be funding there, and there needs to be motivation to get it done. So I think one thing especially is the Yonker Farm. I know we have this big, beautiful new sports center complex downtown, but that's almost a 25, 30-minute drive away from our friends in North Fargo. So being able to have maybe a year-round indoor space at Yonker Farm, that would be something that I would absolutely be championing. So that's a really, really one. And then just high level, the master plan, you need to have actionable things that you can do on a short-term basis. And you really, I think one, the Park District has done a lot of great things, but how they're getting creative with their surveying, getting a hold of people, seeing what they like and what they don't like, that is unbelievably important, because they're not mind readers at the Park District. They're not mind readers on the Park Board. And so continuing to hear from people what they like and don't like, what resources are not being used. I used to skate on the outdoor hockey rinks all the time. I don't know if those are really getting used as much as they once were. So The money, the funds that went from that, if they could go to other things, whether it's more pickleball courts, indoor parks for young kids, anything like that, just making sure you're maximizing the dollars, putting them in the right place. I think that's the master plan. It sets out a great roadmap in a lot of ways.
We got about 45 seconds, yep. And I'm going to ask you a quick question about the Broadway station, North Fargo. You know, the Mike Rockows of the world who wanted to make sure that that stayed open for seniors, something in North Fargo, something for seniors. Thoughts on that?
I think it was absolutely the right decision to extend that lease long term. Need to figure out what to do with that facility. I'd like to see a multi-use space where the young and old could come together. We bring our daughter to the sports center complex frequently. She loves the retirees. Retirees love her. It's a great place for everybody to get together. And you saw the outpouring of just the passionate people involved with that, where they really let everybody know that that was their space, that was their community. If they went to some other facility, then the social connections, the bond that they had there, they would be in jeopardy, and they can't walk there, they can't have transportation there. So I think it was absolutely the right decision, short term, long term. We could probably find something better where everybody could use that in North Fargo. Yeah.
I want to thank you for coming in, Alex. It's Alex Nisbet, a candidate for Park Board for the Fargo Parks District. Solid guy, worthy of your vote, folks. I usually don't make too many endorsements, but here's a guy who is an up-and-comer and is really going to do great things in the community, and I think he would serve you well on the Fargo Park District Board. So I want to thank Ronnie Lee for producing today's show.